Welcome to today's New Life Live podcast. Today's podcast is brought to you by you. Your donations make this podcast possible. Please consider donating today using the New Life app, visit newlife.com, or call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Welcome to New Life Live with host and founder of New Life Ministries, Stephen Arterburn. New Life Live is dedicated to transforming lives one at a time, thanks to the giving hearts of you, our listeners. Our goal is to provide you with wisdom from God's Word to give you hope and help in life's hardest places. If you have a question you'd like to ask today, our phone lines are open. Call 1-800-229-3000. That number again is 1-800-229-3000. Now here's Steve.
Hi, and welcome to New Life Live. Well, as Terry McIntosh mentioned, we want to talk to you about some hope and help in life's hardest places where we have actually been. And sometimes, you know, you're in life's hardest places because you're born there. Other times, people like me, you choose it, and then you have to learn from it, hopefully. Well, joining me, two people have learned a lot. Alice Benton, Dr. Alice Benton. Alice, how are you today?
Folks, hi. I'm excited because I just started an exercise challenge, a little week-long program, because I was plateauing and I was bored in my routine. But it made me think about what we do here and our New Life weekends, because we all plateau in all areas of life, and we need a restart, we need fresh information, and we need the motivation of a group getting together, and our weekends do that so beautifully.
Wonderful. And Becky Brown is with me here.
Hello,
in the studio,
everybody.
Right here. By the way, you know, if people are in the process of losing weight, we have the program, we have the book, Lose It for Life, and in there, you know, we talk about some people, certainly I do, you need a little jump start. You don't want to do things you can't do for the rest of your life, but sometimes people like me, you've got to fast for a day, and then that just kind of reboots everything. But Alice, do you know the theory behind the plateau thing that's going on?
No.
I just was talking to someone about this. It is that in times of famine, the body that is the fattest, heaviest in years past, would survive. And so when there was plenty to eat, the body would then take on more fat when you would eat, because this was an evolutionary, the theory was, evolutionary way of survival. Mm-hmm. And so when you start to lose weight, in the great years when you have all the food to eat, your body says, no, a famine might be up ahead. We shouldn't be losing past this level. And so the point is, you got a lot going against you.
Yes.
But if you will stay the course, get the support, you really can get beyond and below the plateau. The way I see all of this is it is a great challenge to become more connected to God, more dependent on the Holy Spirit, more spiritual in the face of any challenge, especially, you know, in a challenge that you're doing this every day. You don't have to look at alcohol every day, but you have to look at food.
Right.
And you have to eat it. And so we do have some great, great materials to help you with that.
And we can help you set up a Lose It for Life group. We have them, you know, we have people doing that all over the country, and it's made a huge difference. No pun intended.
The best thing that I think, literally, the best thing I think I've ever created were the Lose It for Life devotionals, the videos, and we've got two sets of them. And Bill Dallas was the one that helped create that, and it really is powerful. So that's something if you want some spiritual help. If you want just plain old help, you can call us right now at 1-800-229-3000. 1-800-229-3000. We would love to talk with you. We're going to be here for two solid hours just dealing with whatever it is you need to deal with.
Now, you know, one of the things that you mentioned, Alice, was about our groups and our workshops, and we've got the Intimacy and Marriage workshop coming up.
We do.
And it's so funny. If I think about 37 years ago when Bruce and I were getting married, what a difference it would have made if we, during our engagement, would have participated in something like this.
Yes.
I have learned so much. So I want to encourage you, if you are thinking about getting married, if you get the ring and the date and all that kind of stuff, you might be spending all your money on the dress and all that. Come and spend the time with us to have a great start on your marriage.
And a kickstart.
Yeah.
Yep.
And when we do it in person, well, you can't be engaged and come because everybody stays in the same room and all that. But you can do it at home when we're online, and that's what we're going to do. Find out at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. Steve Arterburn here, and I just wish you could have been in devotions today. Becky did the devotions for us at New Life, all about transformation, and it is what our ministry is about. Sadly, a lot of people want to transform the way Paul did. They'd like to have a miracle. They'd like to have that...
Three-day transformation.
But you can either wait for that, or you could get busy, and you could do what you can do. That would be an amazing thing. I have yet to meet one person who couldn't do a little better on that attitude of theirs. I mean, sometimes, you know, it's Pollyanna-ishy, and it's two. And the other times, you know, just negative about
I always
everything.
Think about, it's what I think about when you talk about recovery and absolute honesty, absolute integrity. It's like, you know, work on being more integrous, if that's such a big word that we can use. Just be better today, one little bit better. It may be that you call us to get started on that.
Yeah. The phone number here at our program is 1-800-229-3000. And I did the service for Dave Stoop last week, and I just... I'm reminded. Henry said this. I believe it too. He's the most consistent person, consistently integrous, as you say, and predictable and reliable. And man, I sure miss him.
I do too.
Did a book together, and we'll send it to you for a gift of any amount. And it's called "The Soul of a Hero."
I just read it, Steve. I just read it. Yeah, and it's powerful. And I, you know, when you read books that. You know the authors. I'm reading it in your voice and in Dave's voice, and then it made me sad because I'm missing Dave. But, you know, they're talking about the core of what makes a man a hero, that soul part of you. And I, you know, I want to encourage you, if, you know, it's Father's Day is coming up, you might need to get a copy of that.
Yeah. Every Man's Bible, if somebody's not in recovery, The Soul of a Hero, and then a person that's in recovery getting a copy of the Life Recovery Bible. By the way, I meant to bring it in the studio, but you may not have seen this, but Life Recovery Bibles aren't always green with the big Life Recovery written across them. There are black leatherette versions. No one knows it's a Life Recovery Bible, but the wisdom is there, and Dave was so much the reason that that wisdom was there. All right, let's go to Brian, Chicago, Illinois, Sirius XM, satellite radio at 1 p.m., channel 131. Brian, how are you?
I'm doing all right. How are you guys doing?
Doing pretty well. How could we help you today? We'd love to.
Yes. All right. So my question is, so I've had a very complicated life. It's been very frustrating. And through... my wife and I, my current wife and I, both had been sexually abused as kids, and we were both in very abusive marriages that dissolved. And we met at church and got married, and hoping that things were going to be fantastic, and they are to the most point, but we found ourselves in counseling, and now we're dealing with our past life that we never dealt with before.
Okay.
And so I've been in counseling for almost 3 years, and I don't feel accepted or like I don't have a place anywhere. Like I go to church and I love my church and I just don't feel at home there. At home, I don't feel at home. I feel like out of, I don't feel grounded, I guess maybe is a word to use too. And so I was, you know, yesterday I was hoping to get on with Dr. Amen to see if maybe I needed a brain scan or something. But I wanted to get your thoughts on, you know, I talked to my counselor about this and he's like, you've come so far, you've gone through a lot, and I've been having a lot of anxiety and maybe depression lately too, just kind of walking through the yuck of frustrated life. But
let me get started here. Brian, how old were you when you were sexually molested?
So I was in fourth grade. So okay. I was 9. Yeah. 10.
And who was it that did it?
So it was. I was on the mission field, and we lived kind of on a compound, and it was a kid who was in high school at the time, and so he was an older kid on the missionary compound.
When did your father find out about it?
He didn't find out about it until I was 30.
Okay. And any reason that you can think of, other than you were 9 years old and terrified, but any reason, a glaring reason why the first thing that you wouldn't do is go to him? Why didn't you just go to him? What do you think that was in the 9 year old in you that said, I'm not going to tell my dad?
There was a lot of shame and fear. And it was, I was embarrassed, and I was, I really didn't tell anybody until I was 30. So,
how often, Brian, did you think about it, though, even though you hadn't told anybody?
It was a, you know, it was something that I really pushed down far, and I was aware of it, but I didn't, you know, it was definitely when anything bad happened or frustrating happened or, you know, conflict happened, I blamed myself, and it was... I was the problem, you know.
Well, Brian, my thought is that when you had that secret until 30, you never felt like you fully belonged to your dad and nor your mom. But the guy that tends to produce that sense of belonging is the father. And there was always that in between the two of you, and the best he could do, there was still this thing he didn't know about. And so you've always had at least 6 inches of emotional foam rubber between you and anyone who could give that feeling or sense of belonging. Does that ring true at all with you?
Very much so, yes. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
So now, you're in counseling. Are you saying that being in this counseling, that you're feeling more of that as you're getting more counseling, that you feel less a part of things, that it's not helping you feel more a part of something?
I think I'm more aware of it. I think that, you know, the counseling has brought up, like, we just walked through the gross parts of it all. And it's created a lot of anxiety. Like I'm not a big throw upper, and I've been throwing up, and it's, I think it's caused by a lot of that, you know. And so I have this desire to feel placed.
Yeah. Okay. Now let me ask you: are you guys going to see a female or a male therapist?
So I see a male therapist, my wife sees a male therapist, and then we see also a female trauma specialist marriage counselor, too. So we kind of have all three.
Okay. All right. Well, how much of what you just shared with us have you shared with either the marriage counselor that's female or your own counselor that's male?
Well, I've shared it. And I feel like a lot of times when I share, like, I'm not placed, I don't know if I feel, I don't know if I feel heard. I don't know if I feel like they are maybe get it, or maybe could be me not explaining it well. I don't know.
Yeah, here's how you can communicate to him. Counselor Bob, the other day I called a radio show. I had one shot on this radio show with people that do this all the time. Here's the issue that I put before them, this sense of not belonging, this sense of not feeling like I'm part of or in the right place or whatever. So obviously, that is my number one feeling that I would like to resolve, because it's so painful. I'm thinking, I wish I'd been on with the guy that did brain scans. I want to get to the heart of this. I want to understand why it's there, and I want to get beyond it. And if you can help me do that, let's keep going. Mm-hmm. But if you know somebody else that would be better at this, I'd like you to refer me to that person. Because yeah. if you have a male therapist, you should not have to call. I'm just saying this. You shouldn't have to call a radio program about the major issue in your life. And I am so glad that you did. And I'm also so glad that you did not become defined by that abuse. We're dealing with the residue of it, not some kind of new deep trench that you dug because of it. And right. for that, I'm grateful. Alice, you have a thought here before we say goodbye. And by the way, I'm going to send you The Soul of a Hero. I think you'll love this. And I'm going to send you Every Man's Bible. I think you'll love that also. But Alice, what are you thinking?
Brian, the belief that you're not acceptable and that you're damaged goods and you will be rejected was hardwired in by your trauma. And so I think that even though you have two therapists, you need to add in a men's group. And men who have struggled with sexual integrity, a lot of them have sexual trauma in their past. And as you share this part of your story more and more with other men and risk how they will accept that information from you, that will add to the healing work that Steve is suggesting.
Yeah. I think that is really, really good, Alice. We need men. We need mentors. We need buddies. We need a support group, too. I think that really could help you. I would just want to be sure it was a safe and accepting group. And so if you told me that down at the local fundamentalist church they were having a men's group, I don't know that's where, you know, I'd want you to go.
Well, and I want to add 2 cents here is, you know, Brian, you are right on when you feel that way, when you're told, but you've come so far. I heard you say that your counselor said that. And your feeling of detachment has to be paid attention to. And some of the feelings that you're experiencing, that anxiety and the throwing up, is you've buried this very deep down inside. And so in order to have complete healing, it has to come up and out. Mm-hmm. And so your body's reacting that way. But how powerful it will be to be in a room with somebody who can actually hear you say this without saying, but you've come so far. Because even though that may sound encouraging, it's not when you don't feel like you've come far. But I agree with everything that you guys are saying, and just want to encourage you to keep doing the work.
You know, for me, if I was with a therapist and I was talking about this and they brought it up and then they said, well, but you've come so far, I'd say, okay, then
we're done.
It's over.
And, you know, the better response, Brian, would be, tell me more. Like, from the counselor, when you say something like that, the good response would be, tell me more about what you are talking about. That's the counselor should be saying that. And that's not to should on the counselor, but, you know, it's just, it's an exploration until the healing has not really completed. I think it's a lifelong journey, but you get to different places where you feel grounded, you feel connected. And that's what I would hope for you.
I hope that's helpful to you. And I'll send this Soul of a Hero, and we wish you the best. And God bless you, Brian. Keep listening, okay?
Encouragement.
All right. Well, I'll tell you, life is difficult. It's complicated. And you can be 30 years old before you ever share. I'm reminded of one of our intensives where this, I think she was 83.
Yes.
A lady came up to me and said, I have a secret I've never told anyone, but I want to tell you. And it was that she was pregnant before she got married. When she walked down the aisle, she was a couple of months pregnant. And of course, I thought she was such a hero that she didn't do what so many others would do, abort the baby and stuff. And I was so glad she shared it. But I think seeing her the next day after she shared that secret, she lost 10 years overnight from not having that burden. It really does set you free when you can be open about whatever it is. we're going to help a lot of people be open and free at our Emotional Freedom Intensive in August. I think it's the 15th of August, somewhere around there.
Call us.
Yeah.
We'll tell you all about it. Life.
We'd love to hear from you. If you have a question or a comment, call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. Steve Arterburn here. My son and I went to Rhode Island, and we had a little visit with one of our board members there. Such a great visit. But we went to Boston the next day and spent the day, went to the Boston Harbor where the tea was dumped. And, man, I'll tell you, you just think about this country. We are so fortunate to have freedom. We've got 4th of July coming up, and I hope you'll celebrate it like never before, because the last 4th of July, I don't know if you remember the last 4th of July, it wasn't so great. There wasn't much going on.
Who remembers last year?
Yeah. All right. 1-800-229-3000. That is the phone number if you want to join us here. Let's go to Ada. San Jose, California, listens to KFAX. Great, great station there. Ada, how are you today?
Hi. I'm well. Thank you for taking my call.
You're welcome.
The reason I is to get help for my nephew, who has been having symptoms of forgetfulness, impatient, hyperactive.
Your nephew is forgetful and impatient. How old is your nephew?
Yeah. He's 17 years old, and he's staying with me for the summer, for 6 weeks.
Okay.
He,
and what else is going on with him? What else is happening with him?
Well, when he was 10 years old, his dad left him and his mom, and he moved to Arizona, and he was not happy about that move. Mm. So he has been having anger toward his parents, and he's been addicted to video game. And he's also lack of motivation. And so I had a medical doctor evaluate him for ADHD 3 days ago.
Mm-hmm.
And doctor said that he doesn't have ADHD, maybe it's something else. And it really bothered me that to see that his needs has been ignored. And as a maternal aunt, I wonder how I can intervene in the short time that he's staying with me. I wonder whether I should go find a good Christian therapist who would look at things holistically and would evaluate physically, mentally, and spiritually.
Well, hey, Ada, how long is he going to be with you?
About 6 weeks, and he has been here for 3 weeks, so he has only three weeks left.
Okay, so Ada, first of all, it's such a great thing that you are so concerned about him and you're willing to take him in to your home. I kind of wonder if now's the time to then send him to therapy for 3 weeks. I wonder if maybe a better approach would be to try and find a way to connect with him. You're not going to fix this. He's been detached by family, and you guys probably don't have a real strong connection, do you?
Strong connection with whom?
With him. Like, do you have a strong connection with him?
Oh, I do. Actually, he actually reveal his problem. I see anything he talked to me, he doesn't talk to his mom. And even though, well, when he was 8 to 10 years old, his family lived with me because they were about homeless. So I took the whole family in and lived with me. So that's the 2 years I found out, I know a lot about the family and him. And he lived in Arizona, but I've been back and forth visiting him.
Okay.
Will he potentially live with you longer, or is it definite that he's going back to one of his parents?
Good question.
Ada, is it possible that he'll live with you longer?
Well, he's in junior. He's going to senior high school, so he needs to go back in August attend school there.
So we've got a 21-day challenge here for you to do the best you can with him, and I love that. So what do you think would be
Well,
one thing or two things.
I would say if you already have that established connection with him, Ada, I wouldn't be focused on fixing him or finding him therapy at this point. But I would start talking with him about that. Asking him, what can I do to help you overcome this anger? We want to, you know, have the best outcome of a really difficult childhood. Mm-hmm. And if you have somebody that you know where he lives, that he can then continue that connection, whether it's a youth pastor or, you know, maybe you ask him if he would want to do some work. Because here's the thing. He may not recognize that he has a problem right now. He might be justified in his anger and his rejection. Yeah. So you want to get that door opened with him so that he says, you know what, I do want a better life. I do want to make better choices so that once I am on my own, I'm not going to repeat history.
About his video game addiction, I ask you to look at it as his best way to cope with the immense emotion and chaos that he's dealing with on the inside and in his family. So because your time is short, I wouldn't try to go after the video game addiction itself, but rather get interested. Ask him questions. Ask to sit with him. Ask what he likes about the games. Invest in relationship, because when we have warm, safe connection, it helps us to be able to let go of our addictions eventually. Mm-hmm. But it's a long game approach. Mm-hmm. It's not a 3-week quick fix approach.
That's right.
And I would search my resources for a healthy younger man. Maybe it's the youth pastor at the church, maybe two youth pastors, whatever. I'd be sure that I'd try to get a couple of breakfasts or lunches with them and him. Or I'd talk to two or three churches. Anything happening in the next 2 weeks that he could go to and be part of some other kids. Anything like that to get him connected with healthy kids would be good.
I was really living a very anxiety-filled life. I did go to Take Your Life Back. That's why I continue to support the ministry with the hope that not only am I helping my own situation, that I'm helping others as well.
You can help New Life Live stay on the air by joining Club New Life today. When you sign up to support us monthly through Club New Life, we'll send you the New Life member thank you gift of the New Life Journal, 100 Days of Peace, 7 Ways to Choose Healing, Growth Has No Boundaries, a Restoration Bible, and a New Life grocery tote to hold it all. Plus, there are ongoing benefits like access to the Club New Life video library, the monthly Club New Life CD or download, quarterly resources, free shipping on purchased resources, and discounts on workshops. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433. Support Club New Life, and together we can help hurting people find help and hope in life's hardest places. Call 1-800-639-5433 to join Club New Life today.
Glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. I'm going to send Ada a copy of Soul of a Hero. I hope that the 17-year-old will read it. It is 17-year-old reading material. There's 7 different aspects of heroism on the part of a man or young man, and none of them has anything to do with finding a desperate victim and rescuing them. I mean, there's nothing wrong with a little rescue, but a lot of people think that that's the only thing that heroes do is deal with desperate people, and not so. All right, 1-800-229-3000, that is the phone number. Let's go over here to Dave from Raleigh, North Carolina. He also listens on Sirius XM 131. Hi, how are you?
I'm well, sir. How are you?
I am also well.
Can you hear me okay?
Yes, we can. How could we help today? What's going on?
Okay, thank you. Well, I'm listening to your show today about folks that are dealing with trauma. I'm actually married to one. They won't go to counseling. They went to one counselor and never went back. Everything is always somebody else's doing. People living life in a relationship, you know, we we have things that happen, you know, in relationships. Well, everything, you know, you did that on purpose. No, I really didn't. Yeah, you did. You sat there and you planned it out. You know, you did that just to poke me. We've actually been separated for 2.5 years. And is there anything besides going into spiritual warfare through prayer, just giving this over to the Holy Spirit, letting the Holy Spirit fight the battle, because it's not my battle to fight?
Okay, so let me ask you a question.
For those of us that are sure.
Dave, you might have heard me share this. I did the other day, but at one point with my counselor, I was talking about how my wife had ruined a bike ride, and she had ruined this bike ride with the five of us, and you know, she was too cautious and rules and all this stuff. And I explained it all, just like you explained this, and then my counselor said to me, "Steve, how did you ruin that bike ride?" Well, after I recovered from the question, because I thought I had convinced him so well that she had ruined it, I said, well, probably because I idealized what that bike ride ought to be, and then it wasn't. I didn't talk to her beforehand and say, hey, let's just have a great bike ride, and, you know, unless a Mack truck almost hits a child, let's let them do what they want to do. I also, the first time she was overly cautious, I didn't say, hey, can I talk to you for a second? All sorts of things. So I'm going to ask you, what have you done to make this relationship unworkable to where you'd be separated 2.5 years? I know why you called. I have, believe me, great compassion for these situations.
Sure.
But I'm just curious.
No, I understand what you're asking, and I guess I should have prefaced that. I did have a porn addiction. I had a lust issue.
Okay.
Admittedly, I confessed all of this to her. I have been set free of this. I confessed everything that I had done. I had never had a physical affair or even come close. But I, you know,
Dave, how long have you been sober from porn use?
About 8 months.
And are you still in help, structured help and groups to stay sober?
Yes. I'm in a men's group, yes. I am in a men's group.
Is this the trauma that she's reeling from, Dave, or is there something else?
No. Her childhood is tragic.
Okay.
Indescribably tragic.
Okay, so on top of her tragic childhood, now she's dealing with what you have unloaded on her. And to Steve's point,
correct.
There is a new dynamic that has to come into play in your relationship. And separation, well, it creates a distance so that she doesn't have these constant triggers. Ultimately, there's not going to be healing that comes from this, especially without some sort of a process in place. Trauma of every kind needs healing. And there's going to be a place where the two of you go together. And it may be that you do it on the premise of, let's figure out what's wrong with Dave, so that your wife feels like she's not under the spotlight. What is your plan for getting back together? Go ahead.
We tried that approach. We tried that approach with a retired pastor who's also a counselor.
Mm-hmm.
And it took 3 weeks just to get her to answer an email as to what was wrong with Dave. She refused to have anything to do with it, you know. And when we have these conversations, I'm like, okay, you know, what would you like for me to do to help fix this? The response that I get is, it's not my job to fix you. That's between you and God. And I'm like, okay, point me in a direction. You know, if my job is to get to Washington, D.C., and I don't have a map,
Dave,
Dave, I'm going to have to figure out what direction to start.
You're not a gentle listener, and it's emotionally unsafe for your wife to be vulnerable and to share her heart with you. And although I applaud that you have 8 months of sobriety, you didn't get sober until well into the separation. So you are a little defensive and argumentative when she brings up problems. And she certainly accuses you falsely at times. But you are not a gentle listener. And so she has distanced herself from you in part because it's not safe to have conversation with you, deep conversation.
And she's flooded. You know, when you have trauma in your past and then in your present, and it's unhealed, you're flooded. So anytime she's asked, what is the problem, she can't begin to come up for air to decide, what are we going to talk about now? Because there's shame involved in this. She feels shame, and she feels guilt, and she can't even describe that because it's really not hers, but she's feeling it. That's the complexity of trauma. It may take 3 weeks for her to come up to with what's wrong with Dave. I mean, but it's okay. It's, you know, I would rather her have to wonder about that in the whole 2.5 years you guys would have been making progress. So I think the decision of whether you're staying or going, you're going to have to truly be the hero in this situation and learn, how can I be present with her and get her the healing that she needs? How do I do my own recovery so that I become a safe person?
And what you probably need to do for a good period of time is role play with a therapist, where the therapist comes at you with those accusations your wife would bring, false and true. And you practice being a safe, curious listener who leans into whatever that fear is that's coming at you in an accusation. She's afraid on the inside, and she wonders, is Dave going to be safe this time? Or is he going to say, no, I didn't. Yes, you did. No, I didn't. And you practice, and then you take that confession to her, and you invite her to come back to therapy again.
All right, Dave, I'm glad you called. I doubt this is kind of the answer or answers you were looking for, but let me just say this. Whatever you're doing isn't enough to win her heart back. And I'm going to send you Worthy of Her Trust, which is a book on how do you win her heart back. I'm going to send that to you. But I really believe that if you could, with a counselor, say, I was accused by a PhD woman of not being a soft listener. Help me with that. I think that would be a major accomplishment. If you would go from your men's group to getting into an Everyman's Battle group or a Sex Addicts Anonymous group, or come to the Everyman's Battle workshop, you'd be saying to her, okay, 2.5 years, obviously the progress I've made isn't enough. I am going to go to work even harder. Mm-hmm. I talk about this, the difference between servant leadership and die to yourself servanthood. Mm-hmm. And if you get to be king, be a servant leader. But until you're king, I really believe God calls us to die to yourself servanthood. Mm-hmm. And there is just something so, well, I tell you, when you do that and it draws the woman to you, you do feel more like a man than ever before, more like God's man than ever before. All of that's in The Soul of a Hero. Mm-hmm. You can find that. You can get a copy, 1-800-NEW-LIFE. We'll take a break. We'll come right back. Final segment. We're going to do another program after this, 1-800-229-3000. You've got three choices. Do nothing, do the same stuff, or get some help. I hope choice number three, door number three. Mm-hmm. Is the one you pick. It's at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. We'll be back after this.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
We are back. Becky Brown wants to talk to us about something that is so valuable,
yes,
to us.
It's our Club New Life. Mm-hmm. We have so many great people across the country and the world who want to be part of the Club New Life family, they support us through a monthly gift, and it makes all the difference in the world. It makes a difference for the people who we can help, and it also makes a difference for us to be able to help them. And today, and we've got this new package that we can send you if you join Club New Life or add to your monthly gift, we have a Time with God welcome gift. It includes a New Life grocery tote, which is all kinds of fantastic.
I love it.
I know.
Insulated.
Ooh, I want one.
Yeah. I know. Well, you can up your giving then, Alice. It also includes the book, 100 Days of Peace, a New Life journal, a restoration Bible, 7 Ways to Choose Healing, and Growth Has No Boundaries. I mean...
Yeah, and just one of those, the New Life journal guides you in stuff. You say, I don't know what to write about. It tells you. It's a healing journal.
Yes.
But all of this, we call it time with God. It will enrich your time with God, and it's our way of saying thank you for joining Club New Life.
So you can call us today and join it, or you can go online at newlife.com and join there.
Solomon, 14 years old, joins the band. There are only 313 people in the marching band at his high school. And he says, Dad, I have never been a part of something so big, bigger than myself.
Yep.
If you want to be part of something bigger than yourself, got a lot of people out there helping a lot of people.
Yes.
Please support us. You will feel great about helping us transform lives.
And we are so grateful for our Club New Life family. So thank you.
Yep. Let's go to John, Arlington, Texas, KWRD. John, how are you today?
I'm doing fine. How are you, Steve?
Doing okay. What's going on in your life?
Well, I think it's a little different. I was talking to the screener. I've got an affliction that I've had, as long as I remember, it's called RLS, or Restless Leg Syndrome, and you've had this sprain. Guy on there.
You are talking to the right guy. Hey, you're talking to the right guy because I have restless leg, and before I knew there was a treatment for it, it destroyed my sleep incredibly, but it doesn't bother me if I do what I'm supposed to do. But what's your question about restless leg?
Yeah, I'll go short of saying destroying my life. I've been on fairly heavy. I gave a different name because can I share the medication that I'm on?
Sure, go ahead.
Or is that inappropriate?
No, go ahead.
So I started with all kinds of malaria drugs, and all things, and I tried some gabapentin and some stuff, and I didn't react well to it. But I've been on morphine for 20 something years. Go ahead.
Well, the drug that is recommended for it, and the drug that absolutely just wipes it out if I take it, is called Ropinirole.
Really?
John, who are you going to for your restless leg? Who's treating this?
Well, now, I've been seeing the same doctor for probably the 20 years, or 20
John?
More years. Actually, I've been seeing him longer than that. Yeah,
John, so. it's a miracle drug.
Yes, sir.
It is crazy how well it treats it. And you just need to talk to somebody about getting that medication. And rarely do we ever tell somebody specific medication, but I'm telling you, if you have restless leg and you don't have it treated properly, it'll destroy your life. And it sounds like it's destroying yours if you're on morphine. So you need to try this medication. Now, you got a problem here because you're going to need to get off the other stuff, too. That's going to cause withdrawal, which also intensifies something like this. But if you if you go on this journey, it's going to have... the potential for a greater, more wonderful ending is there with a non-narcotic medication that was designed exactly for this. The generic term or the brand name is called Restylane. That's because it's for restless legs.
Imagine that.
Ropinirole.
Well, what I was thinking about in your story, John, is that you did this for 20 plus years.
Yeah.
Thinking that this was the only path, and I was thinking about how many people who are listening are doing the same thing over and over, thinking this is the best that there is. And yet it's not bringing the results. And it's hard to say, this isn't enough. I need to find somebody else. I need to find something else. Being on morphine all those years, what is it doing to the rest of your system? Yeah. So, John, you got to find somebody who this is a... I mean, and it's hard. I'm not saying it's easy, but it's worth doing.
Well, you know, having had this, I've been able to see what it's like when people with serious problems are given these little Christian things, you know, because like somebody will say, well, you know, if you just eat bananas before you go to bed, that would help it. Well, no. I even literally at one point had all of the metal fillings taken out of my teeth because another person had that done and it stopped it. Right. So I'll try anything. And then here came this amazing medication. Now, here's the thing. What I have is an example of how God uses brilliant people to help you. Mm-hmm. What if I had said, well, I'm not taking any kind of medication. I just, you know, God,
Jesus
it's
is
just
heal me.
And you. No. Mm-hmm. But because I do, I slept last night, and here I am.
And you're now, better for
you know,
it. So are we.
So maybe you have a place in your heart that says no medication. And Jesus might be saying, wow, come on. I gave people brilliant, brilliant brains to figure this stuff out. You know, Jesus used a substance. He mixed some spit with some sand, made mud, and he could have just said, okay, you're not blind anymore, go. But he made this external substance and put it on the guy's eyes. And I've always seen that as kind of a modeling of sometimes we use things that aren't within us that are physical substances to assist in healing. Look at Paul. You couldn't find a better Christian than Paul. He says to Timothy, hey, Timothy, you got to drink a little bit of wine here, buddy, because that stomach of yours is a problem. An external substance to treat an internal problem.
And I would also say for our listeners who are on medication for depression or any number of psychotropic issues, it's not just the medicine. Because a lot of you are taking things and you're just numbing out. And it eases the pain, but I want to encourage you to call to do some help work, you know, where you can talk about, you know, we talked about somebody earlier today whose wife is really struggling in trauma and can't get the help that she needs because of this. And so it's all of the things. We have to be looking at our life in all different areas, our relationships, our health, our mental and spiritual and emotional wellness.
And don't settle for the rut.
Exactly.
There are always more options to try.
Yes. Right. Well, just like the new drug that you talked about. Yeah. You know, here he'd been taking this old drug forever. And, you know, don't lose hope. And if you need help, we can help you find it.
Sometimes it's a counselor. Sometimes it is medication. Sometimes it's a workshop. Restore's coming up June 25th. And if you are really struggling because you have been so hurt by betrayal, well, Restore is for you. And then Every Man's Battle is July the 9th. In the podcast Going Deeper that I'm doing today, I'm going through the alphabet, and today's installment is A, the letter A, adultery. Next week, we're doing B, that's betrayal. I think there might be something there for you, Going Deeper. Thank you, Becky. Thank you, Alice. If you want to join us right now, 1-800-229-3000. Need some help, 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
We hope this program has helped you by giving you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you, but you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433, or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1029, Lake Forest, California, 92609. Please join us again tomorrow for New Life Live. Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using the New Life app. Visit newlife.com to download the app today.